So we come to the next two lines of the poem, which are, have they no other word for sick souls full of doubt than read my latest article? They are, of course, the mere scholars in Buddhism. But who are the sick souls full of doubt? There are, of course, in the poem, those who have asked the scholars, what is Buddhism? Perhaps we ourselves were among those sick souls full of doubt once upon a time. But what do the Buddhas say, the scholars say? When they're asked by these people, what is Buddhism? They just say, read my latest article. Read the results of the latest scholarly research into Buddhism. Maybe the date of the Buddha, or whether this particular text was actually by the Buddha or not. They're usually unable to say very much more than that. So we ask for bread, and we're given a stone. Not only that, more often than not, we're given a very small stone. As I mentioned at the beginning, I must have been rather annoyed when I wrote this poem. And you may have noticed when I read the whole poem that as it proceeds there is a sort of mounting sense of, well, indignation almost. And this indignation reaches a climax in these two lines. Have they no other word for sick souls full of doubt than read my latest article? So what is it that makes me, in the poem, man, I don't feel indignant now, but in the poem, what makes me indignant? In the poem, people are not asking what is Buddhism just for fun. The question is not just theoretical. They desperately want to know. They want an answer that will enable them to give meaning to their lives, because they are psychologically and spiritually sick. They suffer. They're full of doubts. They ask themselves, what is the purpose of life? Does life have a meaning at all? Why am I here? What am I supposed to be doing? Is death the end or not? Is there something more than this ordinary human life, this humdrum routine? Perhaps they've heard somewhere, somehow, that there is an answer to such questions in Buddhism. So they ask, what is Buddhism? And unfortunately, they often ask the question to the wrong people. They ask the mere scholars, not perhaps directly, but through their books. Though this is less likely to happen nowadays than it was in the past. And the scholars give them an answer which is no answer. In effect, the scholars fob them off. And it's this that makes me indignant in the poem. I'm indignant that scholars should be so blind to people's real needs, so insensitive, so indifferent, sometimes so complacent, thinking that they are the great authorities on Buddhism. Sometimes they even smile, in some cases, at the idea of actually practicing it. And of course, it's not just the scholars in Buddhism, who are at fault in this kind of way. There are pundits and know-alls of this kind in every walk of life, especially perhaps in the media. People who don't realize the extent to which many ordinary people are looking for an answer to the real problems of life. And such people, such pundits and know-alls of the media, as I've called them, are unsympathetic when such people, ordinary people, try to work out a solution to the problems of life for themselves. A few weeks ago, there was a rather disgraceful example of this kind of attitude. It involved someone called Glenn Hoddle. When he expressed his views on the subject of reincarnation. Some of you may have heard of Glenn Hoddle. I must admit that I hadn't heard of him before. So I gathered from various sources that, well, he was quite an important person. And one commentator remarked that this Glenn Hoddle was the second most important man in England. Second only to the Prime Minister. Anyway, important or not, it seems he expressed some views on the subject of reincarnation. And the pundits of the media, they came down on the poor man like the proverbial ton of bricks. His views were denounced as preposterous, offensive, insulting, idiotic, and so on. And the very idea of reincarnation was described as bizarre and ridiculous. Admittedly, Glenn Hoddle's views on reincarnation were, it must be admitted, a bit muddled. And they didn't quite agree with Buddhist teaching on the subject. But after all, the poor man was only trying to make sense of life for himself. He was only trying in his own way to work out a philosophy. But his critics didn't appreciate that. And of course, his views eventually cost him his job. He had the wrong theological opinions. So much for our tolerant, liberal society. So once again, I couldn't help feeling rather indignant.